You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. I'm the former Major League Baseball editor for Sporting News. I'm a former Cy Young and Rookie of the Year voter, and I host another podcast. It's called Baseball by the Book. And most importantly, I'm a lifelong Orioles fan. Guys, today we are joined by Tyler Young. He's been a guest several times before. He wrote an article for Camden Chat this week about Dylan Bundy's struggles. So we're going to talk about that. We'll get to that in just a second. Hey, folks, just a reminder. For all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. I would like to welcome back to the podcast frequent guest Tyler Young. He is a writer for Camden Chat and also does a podcast called The Warehouse Podcast. And Tyler, the reason I wanted to talk to you, every Orioles fan listening to this knows that this season has been a disaster and everything has pretty much gone wrong. And if you wanted to quantify the biggest disappointments of this year, it would be extremely difficult to do because there's been so many. But I think a lot of fans would probably say high on the list of disappointments is the performance of Dylan Bundy, particularly lately. This is a guy that I think people were counting on to be a potential ace or at least a number two or number three starter for the Orioles for a long time. And obviously he looked good in the beginning of the year. We know he looked like he had that ace stuff going for a while there. Lately, he's been just god-awful, though. I think his ERA over the last three starts is like 13 or something like that. He's been giving up home runs at a record rate. He's just been awful, and it's really, as I said, it's disappointing and it's disheartening because this is one guy we thought maybe had some future with the team beyond 2018. So you wrote an article for Camden Chat about Bundy this week, and I just wanted to ask you a little bit about what your thoughts are. First of all, why do you think he is struggling so much?
You know, I don't exactly know what the root cause is. You can definitely see some of the things are like his velocity is just way down. Now, I don't know why his velocity is so down, but when he first came back from all the arm issues, you know, he had that 100-mile-per-hour fastball in high school, and the Orioles drafted him. Then he came up in 2012, had the big fastball, had all the injury things, came back in 2016. Still had a pretty impressive fastball in the mid-90s regularly, and nowadays you're seeing it in the low 90s. He's sitting around the low 90s, and then, you know, he talks a lot about how he's working on his changeup. You got to have something to complement the fastball and the changeup. Well, the changeup is getting closer and closer to the velocity of the fastball itself, and when you're not really, you know, you don't have a difference in velocity between your two offerings, they kind of just end up looking the same, so you're not really changing up off of anything. And I think Buster Olney had tweeted out that what Bundy was trying to do for a few weeks there was pitching up in the zone because players are trying to do the launch angle thing where they're driving the ball down in the zone up. They're swinging up to hit home runs, and that was causing trouble for Bundy. Well, you know, pitching up in the zone, I don't know if it's, you know, a generation launch angle thing or what it is, but typically when you're up in the zone, that's going to be bad no matter what era of baseball you're pitching in. So it seems like he's up in the zone, doesn't have velocity, and he's not locating, and that just makes you super hittable, especially at the major league level. And as you said, home runs are a big problem for him recently.
Now, I think that Buster Olney stuff you tweeted out, also, I think there was some talk in this that maybe the Orioles have overworked him, basically. And, you know, he is a guy who's had a history of injuries. He had didn't pitch as much in the minors as maybe you would have liked because of injuries and things like that. Is it possible that they have simply overworked him the last couple seasons?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. That was Keith Law had that input.
Oh, sorry. That was chat. Keith Law, not Buster Olney. My apologies.
Yeah. No, but both really good, you know, guys that have been around the sport for a long time, so I trust what they're saying, you know. And that was on, I think, his website. He has a chat with his readers every week or so. But yeah, it's possible. I mean, if you look at his inning numbers, they're not crazy big. I think last year he was just below 170 innings. The year before, a little over 100 innings. And then this year, I think he's around 140 innings. So those aren't huge inning numbers. But like you said, when he had all those injury problems, didn't get to build himself up the way that you typically want to see a pitching prospect build themselves up. And, you know, it's going to show itself once he gets to the major league level. And especially it makes sense that he was really good early in the season and he's starting to fade as the season goes on because those innings are starting to pile up. It's the hotter summer months versus the cooler months in April. you know, it all kinds of makes sense that maybe he's overworked or, you know, just not in shape for throwing 150 plus innings. So yeah, it's possible. You know, I don't know enough about the Orioles pitching development system, but there does seem to be something there to be said that he was so effective early on, and it wasn't like his fastball was that much faster in April anyway. So there's something going on with it could be a workload thing that the Orioles, I would like to see them, you know, kind of say, hey, Dylan's struggling right now. Let's try something a little different. Let's give him a couple extra days off. Instead, they're kind of just sending him out there every fifth day, and they're like, oh, hopefully he'll figure it out this time. But people forget, you know, he's a 25-year-old guy. He's not – it feels like he's been around forever because he debuted back in 2012, but he's still a young guy that the Orioles still need to teach a little bit on how to fix things and tweak things, and the Orioles themselves need to learn a little bit about him. And it's worrying to me that it doesn't seem like they're really learning too much about him. They're just sort of banging their head against the wall with how they deploy him every fifth day.
That's part of the issue, and I want to get into that a little bit because that is kind of the root cause of a lot of concerns here, I think. I mean, it's not just that he's struggling. It's not just that he's been bad. It's that we've seen this so often before with highly touted prospects for the Orioles, for pitchers. In fact, the headline of your article is, are the Orioles capable of fixing Dylan Bundy? And I think that's like, it's such a, you would think in some cases, well, that's not a fair question, but with the Orioles, it seems to be a very fair question, given their history with so many guys. And right now we're seeing it with Kevin Gausman, who is traded to the Braves and is suddenly more effective with the Braves. Now, obviously, he's switching divisions, playing in a less, there's not as much competition in the National League East as there is in the American League East. He's not pitching in Camden Yards. There are certain reasons that you would think he'd be more effective, just all things being equal. But is this Jake Arrieta redux? I mean, are we going to see Kevin Gausman suddenly emerge as the pitcher we always thought he could be for another team in another uniform? And if this happens again, you just have to say to yourself, what are the Orioles doing wrong with pitchers? It's just there's clearly something fundamentally wrong with the way this team develops pitchers, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, and I'm in the dark too. You know, I'm not privy to the development, but or like how the development happens with pitchers. But we've been seeing this for, I mean, you know, I'm 25 years old. I'm the same age as Dylan Bundy. So pretty much my entire life, the Orioles have never had a good pitcher. We had Eric Bedard for a season. He was decent. I remember the very tail end of Mike Messina's time with the Orioles. But other than that, it's, you know, drafting guys like Adam Loewen, and then he doesn't work out. He gets hurt. Brian Mattis, who turns into an okay bullpen piece for a couple of years. But other than that, is a disappointment. Zach Britton, you know, we thought he was going to be a starter. He turned into a really, really good bullpen pitcher. But you're not looking at that when you've got a top prospect. You don't think of them as a potential closer or a bullpen guy. We've seen it more recently, like you said, with Arrieta. It's just happening over and over again, and it's you almost expect it anymore. And you know, Kevin Gausman, he's the one that seemed the least broken to me. People give him kind of a bad rap. I think if you look back on him, he had a pretty decent Oriole career, but there was so much untapped potential that you always saw all the stuff there that he could be like a Cy Young contender. And now with the Braves, he's striking out fewer guys, but he's not allowing as many runs, and it happened. It appears, as you said, there's all those different factors, but the only things we can actually see that he's changed are he's moved slightly on the rubber and he's pitching out of the stretch instead of out of the windup. Like, those are two really simple things that you would think a major league pitching coach staff could look at and say, hey, Kevin, you're doing this. You're opening up too early. Maybe we'll have you pitch from the stretch for a while. And the Orioles just don't make those tweaks. I feel like they leave a lot of that stuff up to the pitcher to sort of figure out on their own or what. I mean, I don't see what happens in between starts. I was never in the major leagues. I don't know what all goes into that. I'm sure they are working and tweaking things. And Bundy, I think, had told Steve Molusky from Maston a couple weeks ago, like, yeah, I'm looking at the video and everything just sort of looks the same. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't sound like Bundy totally understands what's going on with him. And then that becomes the pitching coach needs to step in and say, all right, well, you're not seeing it, but this is what I'm seeing, and this is what we need to work on. And just from all angles, it seems like Bundy's not sure. The pitching coach isn't sure. Buck Showalter hasn't really said anything about it. It just seems like they're clueless about it, and they're just hoping that somehow it works out through a fluke, or they just think it's some days he's going to be good, some days he's not. And I'm not sure that in this day and age of analytics and the way you can review things and break things down that really holds any muster, you know. But I'm not sure what the problem is, but it's definitely disappointing. And if they haven't done it already or haven't taken steps to, you know, in this whole organizational rebuild they're thinking about doing, the pitching development process needs to totally be evaluated, and I would say even gutted and put back in some way, because whatever they're doing, it hasn't worked for at least 15 years, maybe longer. And it's to compete, the Orioles are going to have to develop pitchers. Even if they can develop a guy like an Andrew Cashner, who is this year not been fantastic, but he's got the best ERA on the whole staff. And instead of signing a guy to a 2-year contract for $30 million, you can just develop a guy like that. They're not even churning out pitchers like that. So there's something wrong from the bottom to the top. And that is like my number one priority with this whole rebuild, is figuring out what's wrong and cutting it out and putting in place a whole new structure on how to develop pitching.
It's maddening because you mentioned you're 25 years old. You haven't seen really a good pitcher in the Orioles. I'm a bit older than 25. I'll say that. I was around for all of Mike Mussina's career, and I was talking to another guest on the podcast yesterday, and this is a guy who was not an Orioles guy, and he so doesn't have as deep a knowledge of the team as we do. And he was sort of saying, well, they haven't had a good pitcher in a while. And I said, yeah, realistically, the last true ace they developed was Mike Mussina. And he's kind of like, holy crap, it's been that long. And it really has been. I mean, who's the last real legitimate top of the rotation guy they developed? I think you have to go back to Mussina, who was a rookie in like 1991. That's forever ago. You know, it doesn't make any sense, because this is, you know, you can blame particular pitching coaches or particular managers or particular front offices, but it's been a common theme through many, many front offices and many, many pitching coaches and many, many managers. I mean, the one common denominator, of course, has been Peter Angelos. I don't know that he's doing anything in particular to keep the pitching development down, but it is amazing to me how it's just been every regime has failed at developing pitchers. I agree with you. It's, as part of this rebuild, it's not enough to just say, well, we're gonna build up our farm system. You need to have a philosophical rethink of everything they do pitching-wise, and that means bringing in totally new people, I think, at the minor league level, at the major league level, to develop pitching and try to, you know, maybe hire people from outside the organization who have a track record with developing pitching and really figure out what they're doing wrong, because they're going to have a lot of high draft picks coming up over the next few years. So they're going to have opportunities to get pitchers with good potential. And I would just hate to see all of them waste away like these other guys have.
Yeah, no, and that's something that I think a lot of people brought up with all these trades the Orioles are making is, well, like the Zach Britton one in particular, they got three pitchers back, and, you know, Josh Rogers is going to make his major league debut on Tuesday night as we're recording this. And that's great. And Cody Carroll's been up, but people are saying, well, you know, these guys are exciting arms, and Dylan Tate, but they're going from the Yankees farm system and their coaching staff to the Orioles coaching staff. So it totally, and that's like a dig immediately on their potential to develop. Dylan Tate is, you know, one of the Orioles' top 10 prospects, but I think his ERA is just below 7 with the Bay Sox. I mean, that's only a couple of starts, but, and Cody Carroll's up with the Orioles, but his ERA is, he's getting hit a lot. And, you know, you just wonder, you have to, it always casts doubt in your mind, like, yeah, these guys are talented, but, you know, they were developing with the Yankees, who have a tendency to develop anybody no matter what anymore because their farm system is so strong. And now with the Orioles, it might all be squandered. So, yeah, like you said, you can get as much talent as you want, and there's going to be guys that are unruinable. I think, like, you know, Manny Machado is not a pitcher, but as far as the hitters go, he was a guy that I think he could have gone to any team, any organization, he would have been a really good player. There's going to be other players that you kind of have to mold them, and the Orioles haven't shown an ability to mold pitchers specifically. And even the unruinable talents, they either aren't drafting them or they're finding a way to ruin them. So, you know, like you said, we can get as much talent as we want, but the coaching and the development has to be there. And so far, there's no signs of that. Hopefully that's going to change.
Boy, this has gone real dark, hasn't it?
That's where we're at this point in 2018 with the Orioles. We're going to win 45 games. It's all dark.
Yeah, and it's like you said, it's just, it's such a, you know, we're looking forward. Of course, the one thing we have as Orioles fans right now is to look forward, because obviously the current season is a disaster of literally historic proportions. So you can't really think about 2018. You can't really think about 2019 because there's no way they're going to be good next year. Probably 2020, they're not going to be very good. So you want to think about the future. You want to look at these prospects and say, okay, maybe by 2021, this team's good again. Maybe by 2022, they're a legitimate World Series contender. That's not unrealistic for a team to make that kind of comeback if they do things right. But again, they could do everything right with the position players that could pick the right manager, that could do everything right with trades and drafting and international signings. But if they can't develop pitching, it's all going to be for naught, because they can't afford to. They're not going to be able to buy free agent pitchers, because A, they can't spend with the Yankees and Red Sox, and B, free agent pitchers who are any good don't want to come to Baltimore. So it's like they have to figure out a way to develop pitchers if this rebuild's going to work. It's just that simple. And that's one of the things that gives me pause in the optimism that I feel sometimes looking at what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, like, you know, this year, like a signing an Andrew Kashner or something like that, like, I think that's fine if you're to that point. You're like, yeah, we'll complement it. We'll get a fifth starter. We'll get an Andrew Kashner. You know, that's the type of spending that the Orioles can do. Even the Alex Cobb level is kind of surprising. So, yeah, they need to be able to develop those top one or two guys, and then maybe free agency they can find the lower-tier guys. But, yeah, they're not going to be able to go out and find an ace. Most teams, if they have an ace, they aren't letting them hit free agency. They're probably trading them if they're going to let them go at all, and they're going to get a haul for them. So those teams get those aces, and they don't let them go. So the Orioles, it's not just going to fall into their lap. They've got to get a guy as an 18-year-old guy, as a 22-year-old guy out of college, and develop him. You know, maybe they've got that guy. Maybe D.L. Hall is that guy. Who knows? You know, there's possibilities, but there's no evidence to me to suggest they have that ability. But, you know, maybe they're changing things internally that, you know, we're not privy to on the outside looking in. But, yeah, that's going to be a number one priority, because you got to have at least that number one guy, preferably those top two guys, to compete in the playoffs. And they don't have them now, but hopefully they're coming in the pipeline.
And like we said, you know, they have likely are going to have the number one draft pick next year. I mean, the Royals are still in play for that, but the Orioles are in good shape for getting the number one draft pick. And I think a lot of the speculation has been about Witt, who's a position mm-hmm. player. But of course, you know, by the time the draft actually rolls around, who knows if there's a pitcher who has emerged as the possible number one draft pick or something like that. And certainly, in subsequent rounds and in, you know, future years, they may be in a position to draft college or high school pitchers. And again, it's not good enough just to get the guy. They have to actually be able to develop it into the quality major league pitcher they need. And that's, yeah, well, I'm repeating myself, but yeah, that's going to be the key to this rebuild. Nothing else is going to matter if they can't figure that out.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
All right. Well, on that note, Tyler, I'll let you go. It hasn't necessarily been a fun conversation, but it hasn't been a fun year. So
I think therapy. We needed to vent a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the fans feel the same way. Anybody who's still listening to the podcast at this point, God bless you. If you're listening to an Orioles podcast at this point in 2018, you are a diehard fan, and I appreciate it. But yeah, these are the things they need to figure out. And hopefully we'll have a better sense of that once the offseason rolls around and they make decisions about who's in charge, who the next manager is, all those sorts of things. Maybe we'll get a sense, are they really going to get into the international market? Are they going to figure out a way to develop players better and all those things? So hopefully we'll have some answers to at least what they're thinking over the next few months.
Yeah, it's going to be a big offseason on a lot of fronts. Like you said, picking a GM, picking possibly a manager, international signing. So I'm cautiously optimistic about the Orioles. You know, I'm kind of writing off this season, and then next year I'll kind of start judging them a little bit, which might be a little early, but, you know, I'm getting curmudgeon and frustrated with them as we go on. But, yeah, it's going to be a big offseason, so we'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, Tyler, thanks a lot for being here.
Thanks, Justin.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.